couple of weeks now I've been doing a blog. I always wanted a blog, as long as I can, for a while back that I can remember, I always wanted to have a blog, and I never knew what to blog about, you know. I'm quite a simple individual. I don't have a lot going on in my life, but, you know, movies, they always say write about what you know, and I don't pretend to be, a critic or have any insight that people wouldn't have on the films, but I really, really just like movies, and I like to sort of absorb movies, and I like to learn everything there is to possibly know about movies, and, you know, I regard myself as having quite a reasonable knowledge, you know. Certainly, I'm no Harry Knowles, but Harry Knowles, is that his name? Yeah, it is his name. I'm no Harry Knowles, but you know, I do know a fair amount about films and stuff that, you know, other people would just find stupid or ridiculous, I guess. But so I started doing this blog on my Tumblr account, I had no idea where it was going. I just thought I'd just write about the sort of things that sort of steered me towards what I watch now, and why I'm sort of doing this sort of podcasty kind of website thing, you know, more than anything else. So I just started to write, and I thought I'd go back as far back as I could remember about, like, the first films I saw and stuff like that. And it was originally just going to be, you know, just a post, you know, maybe two, but it suddenly started to turn into something a little bit more. And I guess it's a bit cleansing for me more than anything else. Nobody else might even give a shit, for all I know, or care, to be honest with you. But it's kind of cleansing for me to just kind of get it out. And it is also kind of weird, because I've got a really, really weird kind of brain, a really weird kind of memory. I can't remember a lot of details about a lot of things in my life. I can't remember what my wife was wearing the night we met. I can't even really remember what we were doing, you know, sort of a couple of months ago, you know, kind of thing. I've got no real memory for that. I met up with some people from that I went to school with, that I re-hooked up on through Facebook a couple of years ago. And I met up with them for a few beers, and they were saying things and talking to me about people and memories and stuff like that. And I hadn't got a fucking clue what they were talking about. I could not remember these people, these teachers. I just, the things just go into my head and then just go out again. But when it comes to movies, I remember everything, more or less everything, or everything that goes through my brain in terms of a film or that kind of pop culture kind of thing. I just seem to remember it all, and that even goes as far as what I've done with watching movies and what happens. And that's kind of why I did these this credentials blog. Because credentials is nothing more than it's just a term. I don't mean as this, you know, I am better than anybody else or like that. It doesn't mean that at all. It was just a credit, you know, just like a resume as such, a CV. Maybe that would have been a better word for it, CV of films. But anyway, so I've been doing them, writing them for a few now, and I thought that I would do one which was, well, I'd record one, I'd speak one and record it and put it up, because there's not a lot else going on today. It's a beautiful sunny day, but my hay fever's playing up, so if I sniffle and sneeze a little bit, I'm sorry about that. But anyway, in terms of the blog, I've got on as far as getting to the Middle East. And I'd been there for probably about 6, 7, 8 months, something like that. And I'd discovered a video again over there, you know, because I left everything behind in the UK. So I went over to the Middle East, to the desert, and I had to start again. I had nothing more than a suitcase and you know, some clothes and whatever, and a, you know, toothbrush. But so I've been collecting a few tapes and a few bits and pieces, as you can read in the previous blog. I'm not going to go over that again, but sort of, I guess it probably would have been the latter half of 1998. And I remember a lot of things, an awful lot about what goes on in terms of me with movies, I don't remember where I first sort of came across the idea of DVD. I'm sure it must have been in Empire magazine or something like that. I had the internet, but it was dial-up back in 1998. There was no broadband at the time, so, you know, we weren't looking at, you know, we weren't spending hours and hours and hours on the internet. It was, you know, literally half an hour here, half an hour there, because you paid by the minute in those days. So certainly on the subscription I was on, which was through the Middle Eastern company Etisalat, that I had a dial-up account with. But anyway, so I'm not quite sure where I first came across the idea of DVD, and I don't even remember seeing a DVD or seeing a disc before I actually got hold of one that I can remember. I'm not entirely sure. I remember that the place where I was working had a lot of Laserdisc players, because they used them for demonstrating home cinemas and the big TVs. And at the time, you know, we didn't have things like plasmas or LCDs. It was you know, Trinitron, Sony Trinitron. We sold Sony stuff where I was working, and it was the Vega. It was the big deal, the flat Vega screen. I think the biggest one they did was 32-inch at the time, and it was hideously expensive. But, and they used Laserdisc to promote, you know, they had shots of crystal lakes and you know, sort of palm trees and shit like that, sway in the wind, set to awful music. But so I don't remember. I don't even think they had DVDs commercially. You know, players and whatever to play this kind of stuff on. But Sony released a player. I remember that. I remember they used to play, and it was a hideously expensive DVD player, and we got one in, but we had nothing to play on it that I'm aware of and that I can remember. And then Warner Brothers, they released, it was like four or five films back in 1998, of which we did get in the Middle East. And I think it was, well, the one was definitely Mars Attacks, because that was the first DVD that I actually bought, and I've still got it today, as you've seen in the previous post. And there was stuff, I think there was like In the Line of Fire, and there was Batman. I'm pretty sure it was Batman and Robin. I don't think it was the other Batman. I think it was Batman and Robin that came out first with these DVDs, because obviously that had only come out a couple of years prior. And I can't remember the others, but, you know, I mean, there's four or five films, you know, quite eclectic mix of films that came out to launch DVD. And I wasn't going to be paying, you know, $2,000, you know, $2,000 or something, whatever it was, to buy a DVD player. But I, you know, I think I must have wanted it for some reason. You know, obviously it appealed to me and I wanted it, but I wasn't going to pay that amount for a player. But I had this PC, and now Creative Labs, I'm not sure if they do anything anymore. I'm not entirely sure. Creative Labs at the time were quite big when it came to putting out, you know, sort of like a new, it's faster DVD, faster CD ROMs and stuff like that for your PC, and they came up with the Creative MP3 player and blah 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 blah. So we were a distributor for Creative in this place where I was working, and they got these DVD kits in for the PC. So I thought, right, well, that's a way into it, because the PC that I had had a TV out card on it. Which meant that at the time, before DVD came along, I was buying up, not millions, but a few VCDs, video CDs, and I was able to put them on my PC and pump them out to the TV that we had, which was a 28-inch, whatever it was, I can't remember. I think it was a Supra brand, but I'll come to that in a minute. So watching VCDs on a you know, sort of reasonable size screen, not huge, not like what we've got today, but at the time it was quite a reasonable size screen. So I had the capability of doing that. So I got hold of one of these DVD internal DVD kits and fitted it to my PC, because I know a little bit about PCs. Fitted it to the PC and then went to find some discs. And you know, out of the four or five that were there, the one I picked up was a film that I'd not seen, which was Mars Attacks. And I can't consciously remember the first, you know, the like seeing it and going, oh wow, kind of thing. I'm sure I did, but I don't actually consciously remember. I just remember watching the film and sort of really liking the film in a kind of strange kind of way, because when you look back at it, it doesn't really hold up that well. But I remember, you know, not being massively blown away by the quality that I can remember. I might have been wrong, but anyway, that was the first one. I was watching it, so through the PC, and it was a bit of a whiny PC. It was a put together job by some local backstreet dealer in the Middle East, and you know, this back in 1998, you know, things weren't fantastic in Dubai, not like they are today, or at least that's what I'm led to believe. But it was a bit groany and a bit whiny, and the fan wasn't brilliant. So there was quite a noise when you were playing these things. So we had to pump the volume up quite a bit. And it was a small flat we were in Bird Dubai in out in the Middle East. But it was a new way to watch films. So suddenly, you know, obviously we wanted to get some more discs. You know, and I remember that amongst the first sort of set of discs that we got, certainly so when Mars Attacks, and then I probably did pick up the others. I think we did get In the Line of Fire. I don't think I got Batman and Robin. I don't remember getting that. Some other films started to dribble out. They weren't exactly coming out at, you know, a million miles an hour, but you know, some of the first films were things like Practical Magic. And I think there was stuff like, you know, there's quite a few Disney films that started to come out, or not just necessarily Disney animation, but you know, Touchstone were quite big out there. Main reason for that, of course, was because of the censorship laws out in the Middle East. If on the previous blog, on the Credentials blog, if you'd read it, you'd have seen the fact that when I got Anaconda on video and various other videos after that, if there was any hint of sex or, you know, nudity or anything like that, that couldn't be totally and utterly cut out of the film, you know, sort of like wouldn't spoil it kind of thing, then what they would do is they would loop another part of the film, generally the bit before. So you get, like, somebody would walk across the screen, and if there was, let's say for example, somebody walked across the screen, but they walked in front of somebody that was stark naked. Instead of seeing the stark naked person, they would have that person walk across to the point whereby you wouldn't see the person naked, and then the film would be looped and they'd do it again. I'm not quite sure what the point of that was, you know, to stop the running time going down. Maybe, I don't know, or maybe it's just the best way to do it, but they must have done it en masse. Probably not quite so easy with DVDs, because obviously they had to be pressed, and there was, you know, there wouldn't have been a DVD fabrication plant in the Middle East at the time, or certainly not just for the Middle East market. So they had to pick and choose, obviously, what was coming out, and most of the stuff, you know, was things like, what's that, Tim Allen, Jungle to Jungle, and, yeah, it's a Touchstone films, things like that, there were a lot of them that were coming out. So we'd pick those up and start to build a little bit of a collection, but it wasn't great. It wasn't a huge selection. You usually get the films from a place called Spinney's, which had their little sort of video rental areas, and they would start to get a few films. But it wasn't, not a huge selection. I then came across, I had the idea then, because I obviously, having Empire magazine and having access to the internet and starting to really get into it, that my dad and my brother were going to be coming over shortly. I think within the first sort of like year and a bit, they came out to visit us in the Middle East. And I said to him, I called him up and I said, look, can you bring me some discs? And I gave him a list of discs to bring over. And, you know, I knew there was a much bigger selection, obviously not so much probable censorship. So he came over and he bought me some discs. And I remember exactly where they were. Godzilla, the movie, the Matthew, I was going to say Matthew Modine then. Matthew, God, what's his name? Matthew Broderick Godzilla film, the Roland Emmerich version. South Park. Now, I'd heard of South Park at the time, but I'd never actually seen any of the South Park, so this was the first time I saw South Park was on DVD, and I got him to bring over the first disc, I think it was, because it was available. At the time, they were releasing them as four episodes per disc at the time. The first series, I got him to bring the first first disc along, which had four episodes on, and also Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, which was available. I knew these ones were available because I was looking on, you know, the places that on the internet. So he came over and he bought those three discs, and suddenly I got a second wind of excitement about DVD as such, because, you know, these films that were, you know, we're starting to get, and I remember seeing the quality of South Park. Now, South Park, when you look back at it, the first one, they're pretty naff because they're made like construction paper, so like, these days all CGI computer, you know, flash and what have you, but at the time I was quite excited about it because the quality was much better than what we would get from sort of traditional videotape, maybe. But so it's the collection started to grow a little bit more because I started to be able to get films from other areas. That was one, in which came my dad to come out, obviously only a few discs there. The next was when the next sort of wave of ways in which to get discs into that place was initially I had this player on the PC, but then the company I was working for had a white goods division that made fridge freezers and washing machines and, you know, that kind of stuff and whatever. And they started to, they made a DVD player. And what the idea was is they were going to go for the price angle. So they made a DVD player. The brand was called Supra. I think it's still going. It's probably somewhere over there. But the brand was called Supra. And they made a DVD player, the first one available. And it was 1,000 dirhams, which is about 160, 170 quid, something like that at the time. And I was like, wow, this is fantastic. So we went and bought one of those. And it was a reasonable play. It wasn't brilliant, you know, it was a bit rough around the edges. But, it did the job, and suddenly I didn't need the PC anymore. We had a standalone player. Now, I remember that we were going to go back to England for a break, because I've been over there sort of like a year, year and a bit, whatever. And then every so often you could take a couple of weeks off and you could go back home, and, you know, the company would pay for your flight and away you go. And we said to our in-laws, do you want us to bring you back one of these players? Because they were a hell of a lot cheaper than what you could get them for in the UK. So I remember buying another one of these Supra DVD players, say, you know, sort of 170 quid, and then taking it back to the UK. Now, we were flying by Egypt Air, because we were going home
We were flied by Egypt Air, and we stopped off in Egypt on the way back home from Dubai overnight, because that's the way the flights went. And then next morning, catch a flight first thing back to, was it London? Was it Heathrow we flew into? Yeah, it was Heathrow we flew into, that's right. Oh, excuse me. So we flew into Heathrow, and I remember having this thing. I didn't want to put it into the hold, so I had it as my hand luggage. So there we are, going onto the plane. Everyone else, mostly holiday makers, kind of thing, getting onto the plane. There's me carrying this in a box. We had it wrapped in a bag, kind of thing, but you can still tell what it was because the bag was white. So I'm carrying around this Super DVD player. Of course, I get to customs on the other side in the UK, and I have no idea whether or not I should be declaring it or not, and I just walk out. I've no idea if I should have declared it or not. But when we were in England, having a look around, obviously there were suddenly all these discs that were, you know, hundreds of discs then available in the UK, or, you know, a lot more than there were in the UAE. So we're going around and we're buying a few up, you know, not going mad because we've got to take them all back. But I gave them the DVD player. Now, at the time, before we got to this point, I had no real concept or idea, really, that I'm aware of about region coding. Because everything was just, you just bought it from the shops where it was. And I didn't even really consider things like region coding. I found that the Super Player that was available, that I'd bought back from them, was actually multi-region, which was fantastic. So then I start hunting around while we're in the UK for places that might sell region one players. And I thought of one area in a place called Leeds. Now, I can't remember exactly. I think it was called the Hollywood Shop or the Hollywood Cave or something like that, that was in Leeds. Don't know if it's there anymore. But they sold laser discs, and they sold a lot of import laser discs when I was previously, before I went out to the Middle East. And I'd always go there every now and then, look through them, thinking, oh, one day, you know, I'll be able to afford a laser disc player and I'll start buying my stuff from here. But, you know, never happened and never needed to in the end. So decided to go to this place and have a look, see just in case they had any DVDs. Now, they really didn't have a great selection. They'd started with a few bits and pieces, but I said to the guy behind there, I said, look, have you got any other DVDs? And he pulled out from behind the counter a stack of probably about 10 or 15 DVDs and says, well, I'm not supposed to have these. And he had a load of films that were all Region 1 ones. And some of the films I'd, you know, kind of like, oh, yeah, I've already got that, blah, blah, that kind of thing. The one that stuck out was Fight Club, and it was the two-disc edition. What was it? Four-commentary, two-disc edition of Fight Club. The first edition that came out, Region 1. So I saw this almost at the top of the pile. I was like, wow, how much is that? £30 is what he was charging for this thing. I was like, geez, that's expensive for a disc, for two discs, but I had to have it. That was my first Region 1 disc. So my first film was Mars Attacks, and my first Region 1 disc was Fight Club, this special edition. I didn't watch it there. I waited until I got back to my home player at home in Dubai to watch it. But I was giddy as a schoolboy with this particular disc. Then when I got back to the UAE after that holiday, suddenly, you know, started to want to explore more and more of this. And, you know, the internet was starting to really come on really, really fast back in the sort of like late 90s. And, you know, speeds were getting faster and blah, 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 blah. And I started to then order a few discs off the internet and thought, you know, well, I wasn't sure whether or not I was actually going to be able to get them into the country because of the whole censorship things. But things were FedExed through, I can't remember what the company was that I was buying from overseas, from America, but they FedExed these packages. And I was able to track where they were, you know, using the FedEx system. And it turned out to be fine. You know, the discs were getting through. As long as I wasn't ordering a lot, I was ordering like two max at a time. And they weren't even batting an eyelid. So I suddenly started to get all these Region 1 films. And films that you just couldn't get anywhere else. At the time, Clockwork Orange wasn't available anywhere apart from on Region 1. I got that. And, you know, various other films that I got. That was how I started to build the collection whilst I was out in Dubai. Now, that was fine and that was good, but, you know, the discs were quite expensive because you had to pay, you know, sort of like delivery charges and this, that, the other one. And somebody who worked for me in the place I worked, who then left and started up his own business, found out that I was buying up quite a few DVDs, you know, quite off this way. And he said, well, I might be able to get you some as well. His name was Javid, and Indian guy. And it turned out that what he was doing, he was getting bulk deliveries of DVDs from America and Canada, bringing them into the country and then reselling them privately, going around in almost like a black bag operation kind of thing. So every week, I can't remember what day it was, usually the same day every week, probably like a Thursday or something like that, he would give me a call on my phone and he'd say, I'm downstairs kind of thing. So I would leave. I used to work in a 7-story building and I'd be on the top floor. My office was on the top floor. I'd go down to the down the stairs, out the back door, and there'd be Javid with his on the, in his 4x4. And he'd open up the back and he'd pull out of his kind of like, you know, case, sort of sports bag, open it up, and inside would be a little treasure trove of films that, you know, a lot of them, you know, were, you know, sort of just at the cinema kind of thing, or at least they were just at the cinema in the UK / Middle East, because going back sort of 12, 13 years, or 12, 13 years, there was still a huge gap between UK release and US release and UK release. These days it's more or less day for day, but back then there was like a year or so for some films. And he would have all these films that weren't even available in the country yet. And I was picking up films like Mission Impossible 2 and, you know, The Matrix and stuff like this, you know, long before it came out on DVD in the UK. And it was fantastic. And his prices were pretty keen. You know, he was making a few quid off of me, but I didn't begrudge that off him, you know. But he was giving me a pretty good deal because I knew him. And suddenly I started to get a lot more films coming through, and the collection sort of was really starting to build into like the, you know, near the 100, 150 mark. The other area where I found discs whilst I was out there, and these were all uncensored, all as they were, not, you know, nothing that was available in the UAE. Another way I found films was at one point I had to go to Doha, which is a country neighbouring Qatar, a country neighbouring the UAE. The company I worked for owned some property, had some business out there. And I had to go to do some business, so I caught a flight. It was only 20 minutes on the plane, but that was the way to do it, was you flew across, because otherwise you had to drive across the desert. So I flew 20 minutes, and whilst I was in the duty free, having a look around, now Dubai duty free is quite famous anyway, at least it is these days, they had a ton of Region 1 films available in the duty free. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't buy a huge selection of discs, you know, sort of 5 minutes down the road in the big shopping malls, yet in the duty free there was everything under the sun available, you know, a huge selection. But again, they weren't that cheap, I don't think. I can't remember anyway. And I found a way to pick up a few films there. I remember picking up the Highlander box set with 1 and 2 in. They had a little box set that came out, and it was the Renegade edition of number 2, and I had to have that. Some bits and pieces. I also remember that my wife at one point went home for a little holiday. Excuse me, she was out there with me, but she went home for a little holiday. And I said to her, give me a call on a mobile from duty free and tell me what films I've got and I'll tell you what to get kind of thing. So I'm on the phone to her while she's in duty free. I'm literally still outside in the car park, and she's going through a few films. Not, and I think I asked her to pick up at least two. I remember that, and one of them definitely was Alien, which had just become available become available on DVD. I said, oh, you've got to get Alien. Get Alien for me. And she bought that, and I'm sure there was one other, and she got onto a flight, and away she went, and it was like, whatever, a week later, I came to pick her up, and I was like, almost like, you know, sort of, rather than, oh, yeah, my wife's back, yeah, cuddle, cuddle, kiss, kiss, kind of face, where's my DVDs? But she didn't want to tell me, she didn't tell me at the time, but she'd left them on the security barrier, because she's a bit distraught about the idea of leaving and being on her own. You know, she's a bit of a wallflower, my wife. She didn't like the idea of being on her own and going through customs and all that and dealing with those kind of things. And she was going through the security, you know, declaring all the stuff, put all the things on the conveyor belt, and got to the other side and just picked up her jacket and left the bag with the DVDs in. So somebody in the security department at the Dubai Duty Free got themselves a couple of DVDs at my expense. But there you go. Not much you can do about that. But now, 3 years after doing, you know, 3 years after, you know, working for this business, it was, my contract was up, so I had to leave the UAE. They wanted me to stay, but I said no. I'm not staying for 4 years, which is the contract they wanted me to sign. I said, yeah, I'll do 1 year, but they weren't having that. But anyway, I decided that I was going to leave, but I left the business, and I didn't necessarily want to leave the Middle East. I had to look around for some other opportunities out there, and I found one in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia, which was where I was going to go to next. But my wife wasn't able to come with me straight away. I had to sponsor into the country, so we packed up everything. We sold off, you know, our TVs and the PC, and, you know, gave a lot of stuff away as well, free to the people who worked for me, because it wasn't really worth a great deal. A lot of the stuff we bought was temporary stuff, you know, transitionary stuff, because we knew we weren't going to be there forever. So a lot of it we gave away. But the DVDs, I wasn't giving them away. And what we did was, my wife was going to go back to the UK for, you know, sort of like 4 to 6 weeks until I could get her visa sorted out. I was going to go to Jeddah, pretty much the same way in which I did when I went to Dubai, get the place set up, get a flat, get things sorted, and then bring her out so she didn't have to deal with all of that. That was the plan. But we had these, you know, like 150, 160 odd discs, which we had to cart back. So I decided what to do was, I went and bought two of those really, really big DVD, sort of CD DVD wallets. You know, those kind of big things that you open up and they've got pouches in them and you put the discs into. So what we did was, I took out all of the discs from the boxes, thinking, right, we'll sling the boxes because I can get them again. You can buy them. You can buy boxes of, you know, sort of 10, 20, you know, and repopulate them. So threw out all the plastic boxes. Now, that was a problem in itself to some degree, because the first generation of DVDs came in the clip cases, which was a kind of a cardboard, half of it was cardboard, half of it was plastic. Not like these days where you got the, you know, just the all plastic box, but it was a really weird construction. But I actually liked the clip cases. I thought they were really, really good. And there were some other ones where there were crystal cases where they were kind of like, they opened up from the top and they left. It's kind of like more like a CD case than a traditional case, but, you know, with that bit down the side, they got the black. And you know what I'm talking about. Very difficult to describe, actually. So we had to ditch all of the boxes, you know, and I knew that some of them we weren't going to be able to put back in the original boxes, but hey, well, deal with that. The disc is the most important thing. And I split them all up. I split all the discs up and I gave my wife a wallet with, you know, sort of 60, 70, 80 films in it. And I had whatever, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 film, whatever it was that we split up between the two of them. Both wallets could carry 100 discs each. Big, huge, big wallets they were. And I remember putting all the good ones into my bag and giving her all the ones that were, you know, still we wanted, but, you know, weren't the end of the world if they went back and they stayed in the UK. Because the intention was, look, take them back and put them into storage of everything else and we'll just keep these ones. So I took all the good ones with me because obviously I wanted to watch the stuff as well. And we kept all of the inlay sleeves and the cards and what have you, and put all those into a bag. So off we went. My wife went home. She took all the discs with her. Happy days. And I went off to Jeddah. So that was fine. The collection had been split, and like I said, I had all the good stuff. Now, I didn't know at the time that customs in Jeddah would be a problem. Nobody had told me that. And I remember arriving in Jeddah. This would have been March 2001. And I arrive in Jeddah and they start to go through my bag. Now, I had a PS2 at the time as well, because obviously, you know, the Super Player, I didn't really want to take that, and it was starting to get a bit battered anyway. And bought a PS2, which had been out, you know, sort of maybe sort of 6 to 8 months before we left Dubai. So, and that could play DVDs. So, right, I had the PS2, so I could play a few games, I could play DVDs, and I had all these DVDs. Remember, that was the intention. The PS2, they looked at, sort of like flipped it over. I don't know if they thought it was some sort of bomb or something, but they let that go through. But then they pulled out all the discs from the wallet. And they were like, what are all these? They were like, pulled me to one side, and I started to shit myself a little bit, thinking, crap, I didn't think about this. Anyway, I then got taken off to a separate room and sat down with an Arab. In, you know, sort of, these guys were security guards. This was an Arab, you know, sort of civilian Arab, with a dish dasher and all that. And he starts to ask me a question about these discs. I'm like, oh, but they're, you know, they're films that I bought from Dubai, and yeah, you know, I bought them all there. So blah 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 blah, sort of lying a little bit. And he basically gave me a receipt and said, well, these all need to be checked. You know, he spoke pretty good English. So he's probably schooled in England, you know, better than I was. They wanted to go through every single disc and check the content. I'm just like, oh shit. So okay, not much I could do. I took the receipt and off I went. I didn't really want to deal with it, to be honest with you. I was just like, look, you know what? They're gonna find stuff. You know, I mean, I had films like Clockwork Orange and stuff like that in this box. There wasn't any porn or anything like that. You know, I didn't go into that. There was a lot of films that wouldn't have been allowed in that society, in that culture. So I started to get a little bit worried about that. So I abandoned them basically. I just basically abandoned the whole lot, and I just had to you know, to take it on the chin. that I never went back for them, because within a couple of weeks of being in Jeddah, I realised that that wasn't, that environment wasn't for me. I'm not going to go into reasons why, but it just, it wasn't a great place for me to go. It certainly wasn't a really great place for my wife to be. Whilst I was there, though, obviously I still had the PS2. Let that go through. I still had the PS2. So I had a PS2. I had, I think it was two games. I think I had Tekken, whatever the Tekken game was at the time, I can't remember. I think it was just a PS1 game, actually, the Tekken, remember right? And Everybody's Golf. They're the only two games I had for the... I think I had Wipeout as well, if I remember right. But I bought all them whilst I was in Saudi Arabia, whilst in Jeddah, because they had PS2 games available. And I also picked up Series 5 of Friends, which I found... I had a look around, obviously, in Jeddah, so there wasn't a massive amount of media available, but they had a few discs, and they did have Series 5 of Friends, so I remember picking them up. And I've still got those. I've still got Series 5 of Friends with the Saudi Arabian stickers on the back. But those were the only discs I had to watch. But I basically left after 3 weeks. It wasn't for me. So I split and I went home, and I never went back to collect the collection of discs, even though I was leaving. I was just like, you know, I just wanted to distance myself from any trouble or any issues that I would have had. So when I got back to the UK, half the collection had gone as such. You know, we still had around about 50, 60, 70 discs, whatever it was, you know, but they were the lesser ones, not some brilliant films. And I've still got them, almost all of them. I don't think I've gotten rid of any of those. And I can tell when I go through my sort of like 1,200, 1,300 odd discs that I've got on my shelves, that you can see which ones are not... are not from the UK or not from America, because they're the ones that don't have any... to be fair, if you're from America, they don't have any certification, but they're the ones that I got from overseas that weren't from the UK, because they're the ones without the little BBFC stickers on the side. So, there's still quite a few of them there. But I guess that I'd better start again from the UK point of view. So when I got back to home to the UK, all the discs went onto a rack, so say 50, 60, 70 of them, so that, and it was just a case of just starting again. And a lot of those films that I lost from Jeddah Customs, I've now bought again, you know, or certainly I've got digital copies of them, you know, from iTunes and stuff like that. So I've got them all back again, but you learn some lessons when you're doing stuff like this. So that's it. That takes me up to 2001 on my little credentials blog. I'm now back in the UK. I'm now, I've now got sort of a reasonable collection of discs. But, I'm about to get into phase two of my DVD collection as such, which I guess I would best describe as the free for two collection phase, where I just started to buy tons and tons of things because they were cheap. The price of DVDs hammered down in the mid-2000s. But I'll pick that up on the next blog post. But hope you've enjoyed listening to this. And, there you go. Anyway, over and out.